Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
You get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet. Make him the cutest
that I've ever seen. Go on. Give him two
lips. It's like no cheese I've ever tasted. And tell him
that it's lost. Here's the Sandman.
Will the latest rally hold up? Or will the looming recession hurt your largest liquid asset right before you're getting ready to retire? That's right. I'm talking about your 401k, and this quite literally might be the perfect time to hit the reboot button. And welcome to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, your host. It's so great to be with you here this morning. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome, people around here. Yep, they call me the Sandman. You heard the jingle. And that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal and financial questions each week. And that's because I run a financial planning firm and have practiced law for over 30 years. So will you be living off of your 401k in retirement? Well, if you're like most people, then you probably have the following questions. Do you know how much in fees you are paying for your 401k? I'll give you a hint. It's not zero. What's your best investment option in that account when it comes to getting ready to retire and produce predictable income? Or how about this one? Do you feel any stress at all when you choose a 401k investment or when you open up your statement? Well, if you're not 100% confident in your ability to choose when and how you're going to start taking money out of your 401k once you retire, then you're going to love our show today, as I'm going to educate you on how to reboot your 401k right now. Now, let's get started. One of the most important questions right now for markets are we going to get a soft landing or a hard landing? It's a big debate right now, and whoever is right, well, they're either going to make another 10% or they're going to be on the downside and lose 10 to 15%. You add that to the mixed signals we've been getting from all the data recently, and this creates a situation that, well, I don't think we've seen since the pandemic. The last few weeks haven't helped figure this out either. The past week is a great example of what I'm talking about. It's almost like we're looking at two entirely different economies. We started out the week down with inflation looking like it's still a problem. And then some tech companies report better than expected earnings and, well, we finished the week up. Fed officials keep talking about how they're going to keep raising rates, yet, well, the market thinks there's two or three cuts coming later this year. So in my experience, this level of divergence in the data really only means one thing. We're looking at a turn in the economy and the markets. The key during times like this is to not get overly concerned or hung up on 1 month's worth of data, but rather to plot it out and focus on the overall trend. So that's what we did. Let's take a look at the trend to see how much momentum the economy is really losing. We put together a scorecard using different data points going back 3 months. We looked at 3 months ago, 1 month ago, and what's happening right now. The big three data points that I look heavily at and talk about regularly on this show are, as you know, new jobs, manufacturing, and services. Now, we're going to add to that consumers, as consumers make up 2/3 of the economy. And if they stop spending, well, then we're in big trouble then. How much are businesses spending? And lastly, the weekly unemployment number that comes out each Thursday, as that gives us some insight before the monthly jobs report comes out each month. So let's start with manufacturing and what that looks like. Well, the current level is clearly down from where it was 3 months ago. You talk to any business manufacturers and they'll tell you, well, things aren't great. And when you look at the numbers from 3 months ago compared to 1 month ago and most recently, those signal a hard landing. Things are just slowing down. Next, we look at the ISM Service Index. And while it's down, it's not down enough to signal a hard landing, as it's still above 50. And remember, anything above 50, well, that represents an expansion. Now for the monthly job reports. Well, the last number was 230,000. And next week, we'll get that number on Friday. And hopefully, it'll break 200,000 and show us that things are slowing down and get closer to that 150,000 number, which, again, will signal that things are ultimately slowing down. And this would be a hard landing signal compared to what is currently out there, the soft landing. Turning to the consumer, there are very little signs that the consumers are slowing down. I don't know about you, but when I go out to restaurants or into the malls, they're busy, packed even. You can't even get a reservation. So this is not a slowdown mentality. The big question is, are the stimulus dollars from the pandemic still floating around, and is it going to take longer? How much longer for the economy to slow down and for things to cool off? Or will this just keep grinding on slower and slower and the data continues to get worse and worse over a longer period of time? Looking at retail sales, well, 3 months ago, they were at $589 billion. Today, $598 billion. So that's signaling a soft landing. How about business spending? Well, most business owners that I know have been talking about things slowing down. But when we look at non-defense capital goods, excluding aircraft, I'm sorry, I know that's a mouthful, NDCGXA, that's what that stands for. If we look at the NDCGXA 3 months ago, a month ago, and now, it is falling, yes, to all new lows, but we're not seeing lows that are big enough to again signal a hard landing. And so until that data supports the information that we're seeing in other places, well, again, it's looking like a soft landing. And that leads me to a very good question I received this past week about First Republic Bank. Kevin wanted to know if I thought the bank would fail, and if so, what would that do to the Fed? Well, Kevin, first off, we haven't heard definitively from the FDIC that they are taking over First Republic, but let me answer the question a different way. There's more underlying the situation. If we look back prior to the Silicon Valley Bank failure, the Fed was on a very clear path to raising rates. When Silicon Valley Bank hit, they stopped raising rates. So with First Republic falling this past week, what does that mean? Well, as you may recall, this past week, management failed to answer analyst questions and the stock sold off over 30% to hit an all-time low. Add to that speculation about outside larger banks stepping in, like JP Morgan, and effectively taking over ownership and diluting the shares. Point being, if you own any smaller regional bank stocks, you should really evaluate your position. I'm talking about banks like Zion, Comerica, Western Alliance. The market is obviously very sensitive to any companies in this sector, and when management fails to deliver information, the stocks typically get punished. It's not fair, but that's the market. The market likes information. Absent a larger contagion, I don't think the Fed will really care, and as has happened so many times in the past, think about Lehman Brothers, for instance, in 2008. The government has to let some things fail because they just can't bail everybody out. And if they do fail, you have FDIC to back them up, at least to the $250,000 per depositor. Moreover, large banks are in a much better financial position than they were in 2008, 2009. And more often than not, they come to the rescue because they like to buy good books of businesses with good customers, like what First Republic has, given the opportunity. But the takeaway from Signature Bank and Silicon Valley Bank is don't keep more than $250,000 at the bank, Kevin. Hope that helps. Now for a technical update. So the S&P 500 right now is trading very close to 4,200. Remember, 4,200 on the upside, breaking through that would be very bullish and a good sign for the overall market. We just haven't got there yet. But what's important is this past week, the S&P 500 did trade comfortably above all three major moving averages, which are the 50, 100, and 200-day moving averages. Now, we call that a golden cross in my business. So by itself, that's a bullish development. But because of everything I was talking about earlier regarding the craziness of this market, trying to figure it out, I'm not getting overly bullish right now. Now, we add to that the Dow theory. I mean, we've talked about Dow theory in the past, and right now Dow theory remains bearish. It's barely bearish, but still bearish, as only one higher high needs to be had before we can say, well, that's a bullish signal. Looking at all the major indexes, the tech-heavy NASDAQ, of course, has been the clear upside standout year-to-date. But there are some signs right now that that rally is starting to lose some momentum. Small caps, meanwhile, remain a major market laggard, with the Russell 2000 barely positive year-to-date. When we talk about growth versus value, growth has massively outperformed value so far in 23, but there has so far not been any evidence that the definitive and primary trend of value over growth that dominated markets last year has reversed, leaving the gains in growth stocks so far this year at a risk of a reversal or some sort of steep pullback. Among the major market sectors that I'm bullish on, consumer staples, energy, healthcare, industrials, technology, communication services, financials, materials, and utilities all appear to be market neutral, while I'm overall bearish on consumer discretionary and real estate, particularly commercial real estate, at this time. Finally, the VIX, the all-important volatility index. Well, that remains under heavy pressure, even though it's down. And while many believe this is because the index is broken and no longer a valid fear gauge, I feel differently. I think the VIX has traded with a heavy tone in the early to middle innings of a major bear market since its inception. And if we look at history as a guide, the VIX, the VIX, should offer us a clear indication that capitulation and general market panic is underway, and help us better identify a lasting market bottom in stocks, which so far I'm just not seeing evidence of that since the last October lows. So overall medium trend on the S&P 500, I'm seeing signs right now that the overall uptrend that we've been seeing, particularly these last couple trading days, it's becoming tired and exhausted. And the daily chart, as the RSI shows, has turned sideways while futures have continued higher. And the last time we saw something like this, a similar dynamic, was in early February. And if you look at that, there was a decent pullback to test the early 2023 lows. So on the NASDAQ right now, the key resistance level to keep your eye on is 12,222. The support level is 11,929. And again, because of the impressive year-to-date rally, well over 16%. Anything below that should bring down the index fairly strongly. So just be aware of that. You might want to take some chips off the table if you've made some money there. Now, looking a little closer at growth versus value, of course, as I said, growth stocks have outperformed so far in 2023. This was underscored by the sizable gains we saw in the tech-heavy NASDAQ sector. However, looking at the strength of each of the styles, again, value and growth, to the S&P 500, reveals that growth has still yet to establish a uptrend to the broader market, and value has not meaningfully broken down just yet. So in order for us to get convicted about a growth over value call, I need to see new highs in the relative strength to the S&P 500 in the growth area, and new lows in the relative strength reading to the S&P 500 in the value sector. Additionally, when you plot the two above against each other prices, growth has not yet broken above the most recent established high from August of last year, and we need to see that development to continue to favor value over growth when it comes to making a style decision. So while it hasn't been great to be in value yet in 2023, I don't think it's over, because since the bear market began in early 2022, value is still a considerable outperformer. And for the time being, with all the uncertainty out there, I expect that trend to resume later this year. So lastly, let's take a look at the bond market, because again, the 10-2 spread, remember the 10-year treasury versus the 2-year and the spread between them, has fallen back below 60 basis points as the bond market is pricing in a not as dovish as hoped Fed and a potential economic slowdown. It's important to point out that amidst all the conflicting economic data that we've been talking about, the yield curve's message has been remarkably consistent. A contraction is coming, and it's not going to be a shallow one. Next week will be a big economic week, so pay attention to what the Fed does on May 3rd. And all the big three that we've been talking about so far today are going to be reporting as well, the ISM, services, and jobs report. But let's talk about this next. How do you figure out what your 401k is costing you each and every month? Well, when I come back, let's find out how to figure that out. It pays you to keep it tuned right here. You've been listening to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander. That's me. I'm the Sandman. We will be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander. That's me. I am the Sandman. People around here call me that because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions each week. So if you have a 401k, and let's say you plan on using that in retirement, well, today's show is just for you because we're talking about hitting the reset button on your 401k and getting as much out of that as you can while you still have time, as these markets continue to bounce around. So what's one of the easiest ways that you can actually save more money in your 401k without putting any more money in it beyond what you're already doing? Pay less in fees. It sounds kind of obvious, but according to Forbes, the average fee, get this, in a 401k is over 3%. Yeah, think about that. So when you look at the fees, the question will be, well, what should they be? Well, of course, closer to 1%. That's what you should be looking for. And you have to figure out, well, what am I paying? Where do I get the answers to that information? So I'd like you to go ahead, and if you have the minute, you may want to pull over, or if you're sitting at a desk right now, pull out a pad and get a pencil and write some of this stuff down. Because what you need to do is you have to educate yourself. And so the first thing I'd like you to do is get a hold of your 401k quarterly statement. So if you get that in the old-fashioned paper way, maybe it's delivered to your home, or you have to go online. Most people do that now. You have the ability to download your statement from the website. So I'd like you to do that. Look for the quarterly statement. I want you to download that and take a look at it. Now, under the fund choices on that statement, you're going to see a list of funds. And there could be 12 funds, there could be 8 funds, there could be 50 funds. It just really depends on your employer and which funds they choose in your plan. Anyway, they have a lot of choices in their lineup. And one of the funds that is in their lineup is a very popular one. This is with Fidelity. It's called the Fidelity Contra Fund. Perhaps you've heard of it. This fund got a reputation back in the 90s for being contrarian, which is usually going against the market. And so lots of people who have that sort of rebel personality back then said, oh, I'm going to do the Contra Funds because I think that, you know, the market's wrong. Anyway, whatever your philosophy is, we're going to pick on that fund. So you'll see that fund on, say, your statement potentially. Maybe you won't. But what you're looking for on your statement is the following. It's going to be a 3-letter, or in this case, the Contra Fund is a 5-letter symbol. And this is what it is. So write this down. F like Frank, C like Charlie, N like Nancy, T like Tom, X, you're so, X-ray. Okay, there we go. FCNTX. They're just teasing me here. Anyway, FCNTX. All right. So if you see that on your statement, that's called the symbol. And that's how we buy and sell that fund in your account. That's how we trade that fund using that symbol. Now, if you don't see a symbol, maybe it just says Fidelity Contra Fund. That's it. There's no symbol. Well, here's what you can do. You can, again, educate yourself, because I find that that's what makes a difference here as we talk about the subject. And this is how you do it. You can go online. You can type in morningstar.com. And when you arrive at that webpage at the top, there'll be a little, you know, search paragraph at the top. And so in that search, you can literally just type in Fidelity Contra Fund. And what it will do is it'll then kick out the symbol. So you'll see it will say FCNTX. Again, do this with whichever fund you don't have a symbol on that you want to learn more information about. And then you'll get the symbol. Then you need the symbol. So in this case, we have the symbol. It's FCNTX. We put that into Morningstar. We hit enter. And all of a sudden, we get a report. Now, the Morningstar report on the general website, because again, Morningstar has many, many versions of data that are available to you. And you can buy the data or you can get it for free. If you get it for free, the report is a 6-page report. And you'll see lots of information on there. So I'm going to dig into that a little bit right now. And if you want to, you know, write some notes down, great. If you have a minute and you want to, you know, jump online and search for it yourself and you can follow along, do it. But here's what it looks like. At the very top, you'll see it says Fidelity Contra Fund. Then there's the symbol again, the FCNTX. And then there's these stars. In fact, there's 4 stars. It kind of looks like a general, right? There's stars on the sleeve. And a 4-star general is pretty good, right? 5 stars better, of course, at the top, like an Eisenhower. But anyway, was Eisenhower better than Patton? No. I don't know. Let's not get in that debate. I'm a Patton guy. But anyway, all right, 4-star. Nothing wrong with a 4-star guy. So Contra Fund gets 4 stars from Morningstar's opinion. As you dive into this report a little bit, let's say you go to the third page. On the third page, you'll see right in the middle there, it says quartile rank. That's equivalent to the stars. In other words, 4 stars, pretty good. It's top quartile. In this case, looks like actually top half quartile, sorry. 5-star would probably be the top quartile, but 4-star, nothing wrong with it, okay? And so these guys get a pretty good rating here overall, and that's how Morningstar rates this. Now, Morningstar gets a lot of heat from people in the industry because they think it's too general. It's not specific enough, and they use their ratings in a way that sometimes people get confused about. So don't just focus on that. The reason I wanted to bring you here in the first place was we can figure out how much you're paying for this. Remember? So what I'd like you to do on that first page, go back to the first page, you'll see towards the top, it says the following, expense ratio. You see that? Yeah, it's 0.550%. So that's a little over a half of 1%, 0.55 to be exact, that you're paying each and every year to own that fund. And you say, well, I don't see that. I never see that money. Where is it? It comes out of what's called your net asset value. So this fund trades daily based on the stocks that are in it. You'll see right above it, it says NAV, that means net asset value, and there's a price there. And that's the respective price on the preceding day. Or if you look at it during trading, you'll see at the end of the day, the price gets marked. So the way mutual funds work is they wait till the market closes. They then take all the prices of the stocks that are in that portfolio, and then they come up with the NAV, and that's the price that you see for that particular day that carries through the next day, and then they do the same thing at the end of the day. If you happen to do this on a weekend, it is Saturday after all, you'll see the price from Friday. Okay, I hope that makes sense. Anyway, that's the expense ratio, and that's what you're paying for. Now you notice to the right, it says no load. Well, that's good. Loads mean you don't pay any fees up front or on the back end or level fees to an advisor to own this particular fund. That's what that means. So again, that's pretty good. You're looking for that. But I would argue that 0.55 is a little high in terms of a cost for a fund, because now you can get a lot of ETFs that would be arguably in this category. This is a large cap growth fund. Again, if you look at page 3, you'll see it says category name LG. No, it's not Liberty Group. It stands for large cap growth. That's what that means, LG. In this world, not my world. Anyway, all right. So LG, large cap growth fund, maybe you buy, you know, an ETF that's a lot less expensive. Well, how much, Dave? Well, like 0.05, 0.07. That's kind of typical that we see in the things that we buy. So now go to the page 4, and this is where you'll see what they're invested in. You'll see their top stock holdings, the top 10 stocks they own, the categories they're in, the sectors. You know, do you want to be in financials right now or technology? I mean, these are good questions. Anyway, that's what you own, and that's what it costs just for that particular fund. Now, if you look at every single fund in your account that you're invested in, well, now you can see all the different fees that are there. Okay. All right. I'm glad you got that. Now, those are just the fees for the fund. Huh? What about the administration of the plan? Who pays those? Well, when we come back, we're going to jump into that with a little bit more examples, and I hope that really helps you. Look, I know this is complicated. This is technical. Maybe you don't want to do this yourself. Maybe you'd like a little bit of help. Well, I got really great news. We can actually help you in most cases do this. Hire us, continue to participate in your 401k plan just like you are now, and get us to help you do this for you. Call us right now if you want some help on this. We're here to help you right now. We're live in the studio. Call us right now. 866-PROTECT. If you need help with this, 866-776-8328. I have folks here right now ready to talk with you, help you. They're knowledgeable. 866-PROTECT. Coming up next on Protect Your Assets, do you work for Chevron, Enphase, Oracle, or Visa? Well, if you do, it's time for our popular They Say segment, where they say you can't get outside independent help from a fiduciary on your 401k. Find out why they are wrong. It pays you to keep it tuned right here. You're listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander. That's me. And if you are just tuning in this morning, well, we are talking about your 401k and how you can put more money back in your pocket by just being aware of some things that might be happening without your knowledge. So it's been an enlightening show so far. We've been talking about fees and what you're paying for these different investments that you might have already in there. And if you have a 401k, a 457, maybe a 403b, or other type of employer-sponsored retirement account, then these are the sort of things that you really do need to pay attention to, because just by changing a couple things, it can really add up quite a bit. All right, in the last segment, I was talking about the fees that you're paying for the funds that you may or may not be invested in or thinking about investing in that are in your account. Now, I went over how you figure that out. And now what I want to talk about is the other fees that are in your account, which are called administration fees. Who pays those? Well, it really depends on where you work. In many cases, you're paying some of that cost one way or another, and it's really not that easy to find out. However, there is a place where you can start, and you can find out more information about these and other plan costs that might be in your particular plan. So write this website down. This is how you find it. Brightscope.com. Again, brightscope.com. Go there. You can type in your employer and we'll give you a report. Once you're there, what you want to look for is a copy of this report. It's called the 404A5, the 404A5 Participant Fee Disclosure Statement. Again, write that down, 404A5 Participant Fee Disclosure Statement. Now, you can find that on usually also the website where you would log into your 401k, or you certainly could call your benefits department and ask them for a copy of the 404A5. They're supposed to provide that to you when you ask for it. Now, why should you care, or why should you even consider this? Well, earlier I was talking about the Forbes article and how they said that many 401k plans, in fact, the average was around 3% in fees. And for every 1% that you pay in extra fees, get this, you lose 10 years of retirement income. Now, the next thing you're saying is, well, okay, but how do I find this, or how do I get help with this? And so let's switch over now to our They Say segment, because this one you're going to love to hear. So now it's time for our fan favorite parts of our show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes just bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer.
All right, so here's one they say. They say that if you work for AT&T, Chevron, HP, Lockheed, Oracle, Enphase, or Visa, that you can't get investment advice from a fiduciary on your 401k for free. So the reality is, it's probably highly likely that you have what's called a self-directed brokerage account. Write that down, SDBA. And if you have a self-directed brokerage account, here's basically what it means. It means that you can hire us to step in and not only help you manage your account, but get a financial plan. So if you don't have a financial plan right now that's geared to your situation, we want to help you do that. We will include that as part of our management and give that to you and help you work through this, which you may not even have right now. So we will do that. And by the way, this plan can be incorporated, meaning each night it will load that information into our portfolio MRI system, and then you'll get risk-adjusted type returns as well that are customized to you. This is like a sleep factor of your portfolio for you. And that will also match up to what you're trying to do in terms of when you want to retire. So again, if you think that you might have what's called an SDBA, then you're probably leaving a lot on the table right now of what you could be getting help for, because your advisor, or the advisor that's connected to that plan, has not reached out to you. And let's face it, they're getting paid somehow, some way through that plan. They're not doing it for free. And if they haven't called you or contacted you or helped you with any of this, then what are you paying them for? And again, ask yourself that question. I know these are tough questions, but that's my job, is to point out some things to you, right? And think about that. I mean, if you could get some help and you could just wrap that up in your plan, and it would allow you to do so many more different things, you might find out how you could retire earlier, or you might find out how you could pay less taxes in retirement, or you could find out how to minimize your 401k fees. I mean, all these sort of things. How do you coordinate your 401k withdrawals with your Social Security benefits? Our financial planning tool will get into all of that for you. And if you're married, we'll help both of you do this. So there's just so much to consider when you start thinking about retirement, and you don't want to go this alone. And so what I'd like to do is help you. And if you can make it through your 401k, well, guess what? Then we're all happy and everybody's taken care of. So it works out for all, but you maybe didn't know it existed. And by the way, that's not uncommon. A lot of people don't even know they can do this. Find out more right now about what you can do by just picking up the phone and giving me a call. We're here right now to talk to you. 866-PROTECT. Give us a call. We'll run the company through the database we have here. See if this is something that we can do. We'll let you know right away. Again, this will cost you nothing to find out some information. Pick up the phone. Dial this number, 866-PROTECT. Find out if your company participates in this new SDBA program. get something finally out of your plan. 866-PROTECT. Coming up next, your 401k could be a tax trap. How can you turn your 401k into tax-free income for the rest of your life? Find out when I come back. It's all coming up next on Protect Your Assets. Keep it right here.
If you missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to pyaradio.com where you can download or listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to pyaradio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's pyaradio.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, also known around here as the Sandman. And that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal and financial questions each week. And today we've been talking about your 401k, quite possibly your largest liquid asset that you're planning on living off of in retirement. And so my goal today was to help you get more out of that 401k by hitting the reset button right now. So by the time you retire, it will do exactly what you would like it to do. Who knows? Maybe you could retire earlier by making a few of these adjustments that we've been talking about this morning. And wouldn't it be great? Now, before the break, I was talking about ways that you can add more money back into your account by just lowering your fees. And in some cases, just from the math we were showing, you could increase your savings by a pretty dramatic amount just by dropping some fees over time. But what if you could take that money out tax-free? Well, if you work for Intel, Google, Microsoft, Apple, then you have what's known as a, get this, write this down, backdoor Roth IRA opportunity. That's a mouthful. And for 2023, if you're under 50, you can put away $22,500 in your 401k. Now that grows tax deferred. And when you go to take it out later, that will be taxable to you as ordinary income. If you're over 50, you can add $7,500 to that number. But what if I told you you could contribute $57,000 or $63,500 if you were over 50? How? Well, you have to find out if your employer allows what's called the backdoor Roth conversion. And so again, if you work for any of those companies that I just talked about, they do. And if you're not sure, then check with your employer to see if their 401k plan allows you to make what's called after-tax contributions to your 401k account. Now, here's what I'm talking about. You would pay the tax now, but the money goes into your account and grows tax-free. So when you do retire and you go to start taking that money out, all that money will come out tax-free to you, and that will be so much better when potentially you're going to be paying more taxes when you add your Social Security income, maybe you have rents from properties, dividends, and so forth. And of course, higher tax rates I think will be going up in the future. And so it really does make a lot of sense to figure it out. Now, earlier as well, I was talking about the self-defined benefit plan that you may be able to participate in through your 401k. And right now, again, as I was talking about options you might have to invest, some of these strategies that we use right now are dynamic, meaning that as markets move, we can actually manage your portfolio for you and make active adjustments, tactical allocations as things are changing in the market, and they change all the time, as you can see. And these are strategies that we use in your portfolio that you can take advantage of. Your company just has to participate in these plans, and maybe you're not aware of this. So if you want to find out if your companies do this and you have the ability to take advantage of it, then all you have to do is give us a call. It's really that simple. You just pick up the phone, dial 866-PROTECT. Again, 866-PROTECT. And we'll look at our list and see if your company does participate in any of these programs that are out there. And if it does, then we're able to help you not only set up a financial plan, but then set up a risk management tool and then help you through your course to retirement. And when you're in retirement, which of course is what we've been doing for 30 years now, we're more than happy to help you guide yourself through that as well. So again, if you just need some help, you want to find out what's out there, maybe you're not aware of these programs, maybe you're not aware of what's out there and what you can participate in, call us, 866-PROTECT. Again, the number to call is 866-PROTECT to get a opinion from a fiduciary. We're more than happy to help you. I'd love to give a big thanks this morning to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together a great show today. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer, and of course, all my fabulous producers back there, Cam, Phil, Adrian, doing all that heavy work. Because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets Show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.